everybody. Happy new week. I hope you're doing amazing. I am back for another interview with a recently published author next to me, Helen Dugdale, who put insomnia to sleep, right, Helen? I love it. Oh, thank you. That's her beautiful book, and I've been following her journey of her launch and being in the media recently. We were just chatting about, you know, when did the book hit your hands? And you said a couple of weeks before Christmas, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, beautiful. And she said, oh, and I've sold 200 books and so far, which is amazing because that period, not too many people really take action on that. So congratulations on that success so far. But before we get started into the awesome conversation, because I'm sure each and every one of us has had some challenges with sleeping at some point in our lives. So I reckon we're going to come away with some really hot tips here from Helen. But I'll put her book cover on the screen while I, give you guys the introduction. So Helen Dugdale has had many years as a teacher and a trainer and working in research management, as well as coordinating programs for women, unemployed people, and young people. Helen has her own business running personal development programs, as well as helping, as well as individual brain coaching consultations. She has had a lot of success with helping her clients improve their sleep through brain coaching. She divides her time between regional New South Wales, Sydney, and Melbourne, as well as setting challenges for herself and fulfilling them, like climbing Kilimanjaro, doing her first marathon at age 57, and graduating from psychology at UNE at age 62, and also writing a book right now. So brain coaching, guys, helps you to change your negative ways of thinking, that is anxieties, fears, and phobias, to lead a more productive and fulfilling life. Helen is passionate about education and helping people to get the best out of themselves and the people around them. She has qualifications in science, education, training, and psychology. Awesome. Wow. Done so much. But the latest one is you wrote a book. And so tell us maybe, Helen, how long had you been thinking about writing a book, and what was the, you know, like kind of the line in the sand moment as to why you finally decided to do it?
Well, I suppose a bit like a lot of people, it was during COVID when there wasn't much face-to-face consulting going on. And a lot of the business coaches, this is before I heard about Ultimate 48-Hour Author, yeah. A lot of business coaches were saying, you should really have a book to help spread the word about your business. And I thought, well, what book would I write? Because with my brain coaching, I help people with anxieties, fears, and phobias. Yes. And then I realized that with a lot of my clients, I was helping them with their anxieties and phobias, and their sleep was improving. So I thought, this is the topic I should write about, because a lot of people have trouble with sleeping. And when I looked up the statistics, about 40% of the population have sleep problems. And I thought, well, this is the topic I'm going to use, because when you do sort out your anxieties and fears and anything else that's bothering you, you do sleep better.
Yeah.
So then I started doing the research, and this is all during COVID, in the first year of COVID, and did a lot of research, and it took a while, but the book's out there. So
I mean, you've brought out a substantial, great book with lots of amazing information, and I know you and I have had conversations prior to this, you know, around some of the tips and tricks that I'm hoping you're going to share with these guys here today. Because I love the fact that you niched and you chose, like, sleep is a big problem. Everyone recognizes I either sleep well or I don't, or this is not right for me. I wake up a million times a night, or I have insomnia and all that kind of stuff. Because when you say anxiety and fear, like, what does that mean? It doesn't have actually a specific connection, but it's wonderful how you connected it to what you found was improving, and that the anxiety and the fears were the trigger for poor sleep. That's awesome. All right. Well, you know, tell us maybe a little bit about, you know, what is it, you know, that what is actually maybe as a generalization, what do you think us humans are doing that, like, puts us in poor sleep habits and things like that? What are maybe your top three?
That creates the poor sleep problem.
Yeah.
A lot of, well, I also did a survey of people. You know, what really is their sleep problem? And a lot of people have trouble getting to sleep. And I found out that most people, they might not have trouble getting to sleep, but they wake up at about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and toss and turn for 2 or 3 hours. And they, or some people just don't get back to sleep. So that seems to be the biggest problem. So you have to zero in on why that is happening. You know, because it's not healthy, it's not logical to lay there tossing and turning for hours on end. So, and but we can't seem to stop it. It's a habit that's become entrenched, and that's what insomnia means. It's long-term sleep problems.
Yeah, Sam's just said on a comment on this live stream, it's like, that's me. So what do you think is causing that? Hopefully Sam and others will help through this
Yes.
interview.
Yep.
You know,
Well, the
I know not everyone's different and you would need to speak to each individual person to suss it out, but what are the top three triggers as to why people wake up and then can't go back to sleep for a while?
Well, first of all, it could be a phys your physical environment. You know, we all know we need to have the proper sleep hygiene, the lighting, noise, comfort, temperature, get all that sorted out. So you need your physical environment. If you've got any medical problems, like it could be aches and pains keeping you awake, and people might put off doing something about it, but in the meantime, their sleep is disrupted, and that and then their brain gets into that habit of being awake. So sort out any medical problems, sort out any physiological problems. Like a lot of people have to get up and go to the toilet a few times a night, and then they're awake, and then it's hard to get back to sleep. So sort out all those sorts of problems. And if you've still got issues with staying awake, it's usually emotional, it's in your head. So then we have, and a lot of people are worriers. It could be anxiety, it could be a feeling of responsibility, it could be feelings of guilt, whether it's warranted or not. People beat themselves up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And as you said, everyone is different. You have to get to the why and then resolve that.
You're absolutely right. And actually, there was a funny movie, a children's movie, Orion in the Dark. I think it was recently I watched it with my daughter, and it was the whole metaphor of darkness, obviously, is night. And the characters in it were sleep, insomnia. I think the other one was Sweet Dreams. And there was another character. It's beautiful, actually, for what you do. I think you should definitely watch it. I'll send you the title.
Definitely. Yes.
On Disney or Netflix, don't quote me on it, but I'll tell you afterwards. And if you're listening this to this, it was such a insightful way of the one that was called insomnia. I think it would go into people's ears and would wake them up in the middle of the night, and that person wouldn't be able to go to back to sleep because of either worries or anxieties and things like that. And exactly what you're saying, but it's a beautiful metaphorical movie of night and how important it is to our survival. Because then night went away, the darkness went away, and it was only daytime, and almost all of humanity, started to just get depressed and just can't do anything. So what you're saying, we can't survive without sleep, right?
Yes, definitely.
Amazing. So physical environment you mentioned, and I always love practical things. What are maybe some tips around what should we look for to set up in our physical environment? When it comes to
Well, I think by now most people know that definitely no devices, especially 1 hour before bed. Because that stimulates your brain and gets the cortisol going, and you're so active, you won't be able to get to sleep. So the comfortable bed, and that could be hard or soft depending on personal taste. A dark room, because any light will upset your circadian rhythm. The temperature shouldn't be too hot, not too cold. Light temperature noise, try and limit the amount of noise. And if you are on a busy street or near a train station or noisy neighbors, sometimes double glazing, but that's expensive. Have
Earbuds. Yeah, like
earbuds.
the plane.
And if you still can't do that, sometimes having white noise
Yeah, that's
helps.
what helped my baby sleep.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
Let me ask a big question though. What about a snoring partner?
Well, that might get down to marriage counseling, but if you can help your co-sleeper with their snoring, because that's a health problem for them as well. So try and get them some help. A lot of people, couples I see, they end up having to sleep in separate rooms if the snorer is so loud. But sometimes the earbuds and the white noise will help you overcome your sleeping partner's snoring.
We've had that issue, and yes, we solved it many years ago. And I will not go without my sleep, but I've got that problem where you need to go to the bathroom, not in the middle of the night, but at 6 a.m. And even though I've had 8 hours, I still want to feel like I want to go a little bit longer, but I can't often fall back asleep. It's like your body's probably had enough, right? But I know it is annoying, occasionally when you have that 3 a.m. and it's like, and now it's now what? So very good.
Well,
What is
you know, you can retrain your bladder as well as retrain your brain.
Oh,
Because
what? Tell me a bit about that. What's
well,
happening?
it takes a few nights, but as long as there's no medical problem, you can put it off, put it off, put it off until you can't hold it off any longer. And then the next night, go a bit longer without having to, because once you get up and go to the toilet, it's sometimes hard to get back to sleep. So you don't want to get into either the habit of having your bladder emptied all the time and your brain getting into the habit of staying awake. So you can gradually retrain your bladder and your brain. Like I had someone who felt like they had to get up five times a night to go to the toilet.
I
So
think.
they weren't were hardly getting any sleep. And then they were being more anxious the next day because they didn't have enough sleep. So when I helped them with their retraining their bladder, you know, and convincing them that no, there won't be an accident, they'll be all right. They started sleeping through the night and then they were less anxious the next day and could handle the pressures of work better. It was
So,
like a revelation.
can I ask the question about age? Do you need to go to the toilet more frequently as we age? Like, is that kind of a thing, or is this like just some other thing we've trained ourselves to think?
Yes, it could
Because
be.
kids seem to go such a long time, right? Like, 12 hours sleeping, and then they get up and they still don't go first thing in the
Yes.
toilet,
Yeah.
right?
With the age thing, that can be habit. You know, you feel like you need to empty, but you need to check out if there's a medical issue of why your bladder needs to be emptied. Usually you can stay asleep and not need to go to the toilet for quite a few hours.
For the 8 hours, it should be reasonable, Maybe some people can go, like kids can go 12 hours or so, but but that's interesting. And also, when sometimes people have a few drinks, when you start going to the toilet and you can't stop, like there's you open up and then you just keep going every, like, so it seems half an hour, right? So it's similar thing what you're doing at night. If you're like, if you've gone and then all of a sudden, you keep going. So that's a very good point there, you guys. If you I've got that issue of getting up 2 or 3. I know my mum has complained of that, so I'm gonna actually get her to definitely watch this interview to make sure, like, she get that you can actually definitely retrain. But that's awesome. So what are some other things that people would get from picking up your book and going through the content?
Well, there's lots of tips, there's lots of research, there's pages and pages of references in here. Because I just didn't want to make a bald statement as if I've made it up, plucked it out of the air. If I've made a statement saying tryptophan
Back
is
it up.
good for sleep, I need to back it up with credible research. And tryptophan, if is found in dairy and turkey meat and nuts. So that's helped, that helps people with their getting to sleep. You know how they used to say, have a warm drink of milk? That's why.
Yes.
But there's lots of practical tips. So I've researched all the things that have helped my clients and the general public get some better sleep, because you know there's all sorts of things out there that people swear by, but what works for one person might not work for another. And you mentioned drinking before. It's okay. I'm not saying give up alcohol or coffee, but be careful of having it, you know, within a couple of hours before going to sleep. So have it earlier in the evening, or have even have coffee early in the afternoon, because caffeine can stay in your system for 8 or 10 hours.
Oh yeah. I only have one and this is it. First thing in the morning and that's for the day. Like I know
Good.
if I'm after
Good.
2 or 3 o'clock, there's no way like I would be falling asleep. Yeah. And actually you're right. Like, you know, when you if you've been out and like you know, have lots of water for a couple of hours before you would have just to flush out some things out of your system. So that, yeah, of course it's going to disrupt your sleeping though. Like it's not ideal to be, you know, having alcoholic drinks so close to sleeping or volume or however many. Yeah, that's awesome. So, you know, what are some of the plans of what you want to do with this book? What's, I mean, you've just before we jumped on live, you know, you told me some opportunities have come your way. What's the intention now? The next steps? I mean, it's literally been out just on 2 months.
I've already had two public launches, and that was good. It was a good vibe in the room, and everyone's nodding, and yeah, that's right, and yeah, that's a good tip, and explaining the process of writing the book. So that was really interesting for people. I'm planning a launch for Sydney in the next month or two, and already I've got some speaking engagements with different organizations, and I also run sleep workshops, so either online or in person, and they've worked well. People have even fallen asleep in my workshop, and that was and the people around them were sort of laughing, but I thought, oh, this poor man, he's fallen asleep in a room full of people on a hard floor with the lights on. I thought, imagine how tired he must have been to fall asleep in that situation. And he was coming to the sleep workshop to get some hints of how he could improve his sleep. But I just felt so sorry for him. But he went away with some good tips on how to do it for himself in his own bed and his own environment.
That's really cool. So this was like a face-to-face workshop. Do you do anything online?
Yes, I've run a few sleep workshops online, and I've done it for Carers New South Wales. So they were having development days for the people who care for other people, and these are people whose sleep is disrupted because they need to be alert for the people they're looking after. So it's important for them to be able to get back to sleep. If they have to get up for the people, you know, it could be caring for a baby, it could be caring for an older person, but you need to be able to get back to sleep. Then you can function better the next day.
What do you think about napping during the day?
Good point.
Sometimes.
Yes, they say, all the research says napping's okay as long as it's not for more than 30 minutes. So 20 or 30 minutes is a good power nap. But any longer,
Yes.
it's going to disrupt your rhythm when it's time for bed.
Yeah, they say either what I've heard, and obviously this is not from research, but just from people, either you do that really short one, the power nap, or you need to do a full cycle. Otherwise, if you wake up in the middle of it, you feel so exhausted. I don't know if you've heard that sort of, and it's happened to me many times because I do like to nap sometimes on a weekend or whatever, like, you know, when I have an opportunity, say on a holiday or whatever. And I found like either it's got to be really quick or you got to do a full cycle. But as you say, if you do a full cycle, it can be like you've had quite a bit of rest and then you go. And a full cycle is about 90 minutes, I believe.
That's right. 90 minutes is the cycle. I wouldn't recommend a full cycle during the day unless you're not feeling well.
Now that, so you really like maybe set yourself a little alarm in 20 or 30 minutes just
Yes.
to
Yep.
kind
Yeah,
of
that's
trigger
enough
yourself.
to keep you going for
It's
the
funny
rest.
though, when you have a power nap, you think you've slept for so long and it's only been like 10 minutes. My like sometimes we fall asleep on our outside couches at our Gold Coast house, like they're so comfy, like just for an afternoon chill. And then you wake up and you go, oh, how long have we gone? And someone's there awake, they go, oh, only like 5 minutes. You know, so yeah, that's very cool. So tell us, you mentioned you spoke at your book launch about the process of writing a book and all that sort of stuff. Talk to me, you know, you the way you worked with us is you had some mentoring with Stuart, and then you had a publishing package attached to it. And now that the book is out, and you know, you're also part of our Book Accelerator membership to be implementing the things, you know, consistently to grow the book and the business behind it and all that. How was all of that? What's something that you shared maybe on that night when you were talking to people?
It was really coming from no knowledge at all of how to write a book, and then having the support of you and your team was quite inspiring, and it was reassuring having all of you coach me along and point out what to do and what not to do. So, and I love the way you keep thinking up new ideas to help authors either write the book or with our business. That was quite illuminating. I love that.
Well, there's so much you can do. Like, you know, I mean, I wrote a book on Shut Up and Sell, your first book, which had the 48 strategies around what people should be doing with their books. It's not just about the $30 product. It's about so much more. Like you just already mentioned, there's speaking opportunities, you're doing workshops, you're doing it online and offline. I mean, and then you're working with people one-on-one as well that really kind of need that more personalized support. That's a lot of leverage, and also the fact that people now see you, they elevate your credibility, which is very smart to those business coaches that told you at the beginning, you know, go, you know, you should definitely write a book. And I love the fact that you found a niche to focus on, because you're still going to deal with anxiety and fears and phobias, right? But people generally have a trigger why they come to see you for those kind of things. And often sleep can be a very painful reason to get up and do something about it, because our health can really diminish without good sleep. So hours of sleep. Let's just a few other tips. I love how practical Helen is. I love practical tips. What's you know, I've heard, I don't know, recently I've heard that women need to sleep more than men, like on average 1 or 2 hours even more per night. Have you heard that, or like,
No, I haven't heard that. It could be that women can I don't like to generalize amongst the across the genders. Usually women are more busy. They've got looking after the house, the children, and working and volunteering and everything else they do. They probably need more sleep because they're busier and they just go.
recover. And maybe because our bodies go through the monthly cycles, and like there's a whole lot of more hormonal ups and downs and all that kind of stuff. That's very interesting. Any other like quirky little tips you've given people about sleeping that you can, I know I'm putting you on the spot. I'm just curious, you know, like sometimes these interviews guys you know, open up a can of worms of like, oh, like what would other people be thinking? And if ever anyone does have a question and you want to ask Helen, you can post if you're watching this live, because we've got a few people there watching live and getting some hot tips around sleep. I can ask her on your behalf. I'm just asking the ones I'm curious about.
Oh,
Anything
well,
else?
I've got so many that I want to tell
Which
you
one
about.
do I choose?
They're all in
Go
the
and get the book.
I didn't put an index in the book, but I put because then it would double the size of the book, but I did put a fairly in-depth list of contents, you know, and chapter subheadings. So people can just go to the subheadings and say, oh, that sounds interesting. I want to know more about that. So, but one interesting thing that a lot of people, it's becoming more in the media now, is the connection between the gut and the brain. And
Yes.
we really, and what affects one will affect the other. And if you don't get enough sleep, you could get, it could upset your gut biome. You know, you could get an upset tummy. Like some people get diarrhea, constipation, a clenching of the stomach. You know how you feel when you're nervous, and you don't
Yes.
want to be like that all the time. And if you get a good sleep, then your gut is more relaxed and everything works. But also in looking after your gut, you need to have good nutrition, and that in turn is going to help your brain, and that will help you
Yes.
sleep better. So the gut brain connection is a thing. So I go into detail in that in the book too.
Beautiful. So also what you said, dairy and a couple of other things help. What were the couple of nuts, was it?
Yes, yeah. Turkey meat. There's some fruits that are good.
Yep.
Like they're starting to do research on kiwi fruit and tart cherries, and
Yep.
that looks like they help people with their sleep. So if and none of these are going to hurt you, they just might help your sleep, or they might not do anything. Everyone's different.
I love it. All right, let me just see. There's a comment here from Claire. Good morning. Great tips. Thanks, Helen. Night nursing, doing my night watch as a solar, and becoming an author changed my attitude and ability to sleep, clearing the mind as well as bladder, and just thinking easy on gratitude and perhaps some of the day's positive reflections. I find a nice way to nod off. Yes, read the brain gut connection.
Yeah.
Okay, beautiful. Well done, Claire. And Claire comes from a nursing background as well, so she would know a lot about that kind of stuff. Well, where can people buy the book? Because obviously, you guys picked up hopefully a handful, if not more than a handful, of tips during this call. Like even anything, one thing you could do today is go and look at your physical environment in your room, you know, and make a decision not to charge devices there, to have to go elsewhere to, you know. I was on a training this weekend with my son, who attended a program, and they talked about having buying a phone jail on eBay or Amazon, and you put it for an X amount of time that you can't get your phone out and things like that, you know, and you could do that overnight on charging or whatever it is. But what's the website? And apparently you send them a little eye mask with it if they do buy your book.
Well, I got my merch, you know, for the
Yes, Hermit.
so these are especially useful if you're traveling and you're staying in
Oh, yeah.
different, like at friends' houses or staying in motels, and there could be different light coming in that you can't do anything about. So an eye mask really does help block out that
It
light,
does.
and you'll get a
And on
better
planes,
sleep.
when you're flying on planes, you're exhausted and they still got those lights up, or they start to put them up because the food comes out. I swear by them. I have a couple in my backpack that I travel with all the
And
time.
usually,
And the ear things as well.
yeah. And
Yeah.
if you have one of these on, people are less likely to disturb you.
Yeah, I love it. So the website is AustralianBrainCoaching.com.au,
dot com dot,
guys.
yep, yeah.
We did notice this morning the server was down, so if you directly go to it immediately, may not be up, but it's probably going to come up anytime throughout the day,
Yes.
AustralianBrainCoaching.com.au. Otherwise, if you're like really want to get your hands on the book, then go to Amazon or all your good online resellers. That's where you'll be able to find Helen's book, Put Insomnia to Sleep. Just chat, search that, or Helen Dugdale, and you'll be able to find all of those bits and pieces. But if you get it directly from her, of course, she'll send you the little eye mask as her merch alongside the book, rather than a bookmark. You get an eye mask, which is really, and thank you, Lindy. She's just posted the link below in the comments. So thank you for joining me today. I've had a pleasure of working with you. I know I'm going to be seeing you through the workshops, and you know, maybe we can reconnect in, you know, 6, 9, 12 months and see where the journey has brought you. Because I think it's a big topic that you know, a lot of us should be tackling and doing something about it. And now that all the holidays are over, you know, everyone should really focus on, you know, clearing the space to have good sleep hygiene, as Helen likes to say. Thank you so much, Helen. Have an awesome day, everybody. And what do we say? Smash it out, right, Helen?
Thank
Bye, guys.
you.
Bye.